Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you would like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call to 844-322-2742 in Canada and the U.S., 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's our theme for this month, the fact that God loves us, and the fact that he, in his essence, in his nature, is love itself. Mm-hmm. So if we really know God, if we've been born of God, then we know this to be true. But apart from new birth, apart from having that intimate relationship with God, we think of God in every other way except love. We have a very distorted view. That's why we need new birth. That's why we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts, to open up our minds, to see the truth that God is love. I know when I was first trying to grow in Christ and really be the Christian that I thought God wanted me to be, my view of God was distorted by my failures, by my sins, by all those fleshly attempts to be good in God's sight. And so I had him as a mean, vengeful, judgmental guy who was ready to hammer me with punishment at any given moment. I think if you go out there and survey people, just take a random selection of folks and ask them to define God, to tell you what they think God is like, you would just be shocked and dismayed by the answers that they would give, because none of it would line up with the truth of the Word of God, the fact that God is love. So how do we know that to be true? Because we've been born again of the Spirit. We have a personal relationship with God, and in that relationship, we learn and discover that God indeed is love. And that's what the world needs, and that's why we're on the air every day to deliver that truth and to connect as many people to the love of Christ as we possibly can.
Absolutely. That's why we call it Basic Gospel, everybody. Again, 844-322-2742. We have calls already beginning to come in, but still plenty of open lines for you. And if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and talk with Andrew, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how y'all doing? It's good to hear your voices again. I enjoy your show. And I enjoy so much the knowledge that y'all give out about grace and everything. But I have a question that I'm trying to, you know, deal with in relationship to, like, you know, dinosaurs, and they have cavemen, and they have fossils that I guess they can prove that people look like that. And then they have those fossils of the dinosaurs that look like that. Based upon knowing about creation, how God created the earth, how do you put those things in proper perspective?
Well, Andrew, I think we need to start with that foundation, is that God has revealed some truth to us as recorded in the Word of God. God spoke and things came into existence. Science is trying to answer that question, how the world came into existence, and they're not buying into the creation story. But I think we have to start right there. That's the rock that we stand on. That's our foundation. So anything that is discovered in the scientific world, anything that is discovered in the archaeological world, we need to somehow realize that that does not trump the creation story. Now, we may not know how it all fits in because we don't have a clear record of that in the Word of God. But we know that it's not going to contradict what the Word of God has to say. So I think if we stand on that rock of the creation story, that God spoke and all things came into being, I think we're going to be okay. We don't have to fear the fossil records. We don't have to fear what science is bringing to the table. At some point, those are all going to merge. Those pieces are going to fit together so nicely we're going to scratch our heads and wonder, why couldn't we see this? But now the lines are blurred. We're not sure how it all fits together. But we know that in the end, when everything is revealed, we're going to see how it all fits together.
Yeah. The whole issue of science is not an issue of concrete. It's not that scientists have figured out 53 years ago that something is true and therefore will never change ever, ever, ever. I mean, just yesterday I saw a headline that they're asking a question based on the most recent research. Does T-Rex have lips? No, not just the edge of a mouth with teeth, but movable lips. You know, they're studying that. Well, you would expect them to study that, but that means that the definition of who T-Rex was and what he was made up of is not a set-in-stone definition, whereas when the Bible says everything was created by the Word, that is Jesus, that is a concrete statement. It either stands or falls on its own, and so we don't have to fear science. Let science do science and figure these things out as they go, and like Bob said, as we get closer and closer to the end, Jesus is going to reveal what parts of it are true and what parts of it we can ignore.
Okay, I take that, Ben. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you.
You're welcome, Andrew. Thanks for your call. Appreciate the question as well.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Well, we have an opening for you to pose your question at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, Richard, we're coming up on our fiscal year end, and tell our audience what that might mean to the ministry.
Well, it could be a really hugely positive meaning to the ministry. Our fiscal year ends on June 30th, and so we're in the final month. We would love it if we could raise $199,500. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's $199,510.
Yes.
But we've already got a pledge for $10.
Yes.
So what this would mean is that we would go into the second half of this year in extremely good fashion. Mm-hmm. Everything that all of our obligations met, everything in the position that our budget called for, so that we can move strongly into the next half of the year, the first half of the next fiscal year. Now, that's the dollars and cents argument. The real issue that we want to make this kind of appeal is that there are people right now, we've heard several of them this week already, we heard them last week, we hear them every week,
yes,
who need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need that story of Jesus' victory applied to their lives. And the way we do it here at Basic Gospel is through radio and media and your participation with us in bringing us to the fruition of the goals we've set, the budgets that we very carefully follow, and all of that makes possible sharing this story.
Yeah.
Makes possible the stories that you hear when you're listening to this broadcast of people who call in and say, I was lost, I was down in the dumps, I was suicidal, or my marriage was on the rocks, and I met Jesus because you guys shared him with me.
Yeah.
Those are your stories just as much as they're our stories, because it's Jesus working through all of us as members of the body of Christ.
Yeah. Well, to thank you for your generosity, we're going to send you also Bob Christopher's powerful CD series, Love Is, an exploration of God's immeasurable love for you. So just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. We hope you'll join us, friends.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go down to Hutto, Texas, and talk with our friend Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, how you doing, Bob and Richard and Bob?
Hello, doing great.
Trying to keep dry on this rainy day here in Texas.
Oh, I'm telling you. Hey, I was going to talk about, since the subject's love, I'm going to change what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about ask you about 1 Corinthians 17, but I can do that anytime. You said something yesterday that I looked it up in Scripture. You were talking out of Romans 5:8. It says, but God commanded his love towards us while we were yet sinners, and Christ died for us. That's what mine says. But yesterday you said that while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love for us, okay? And it just kind of pierced me because, like, I can tell you something, okay? And it's a verbal exchange, but a demonstration is something physical. And, you know, through Christ dying upon the cross and demonstrate, it was a demonstration that all of our sins were forgiven. But that's just not for Christians. It's for the world. And I was just wondering if you would talk about Romans 5, 7 through 9.
Okay, would be glad to do it. You know, we talked yesterday about John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And this Romans 5:8 passage tells us exactly how he gave his son. He gave his son in sacrifice. And that death on the cross, Christ's death on the cross, was a demonstration of the love God has for the world. And it is for all people. I mean, that's whom God loves, is everyone that's ever been. And so that was demonstrated so clearly at the cross. But here's what the passage says. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. So that's all of us. We were all ungodly. There's none righteous, no, not one. So he died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? So there was a demonstration of God's love at the cross, and there's a result to that love.
Yes.
There is a direct benefit. The fact that we are going to be saved from God's wrath through him, that because of the shed blood of Christ, we are saved from the wrath to come. What is that wrath? Well, it's eternal separation from God. We come into this world dead spiritually. When we come to know him, we're made fully alive in Christ. And when we go to be with him, we're going to be with him forever. That's the eternal life that we have. Those who reject Christ, they're going to experience that eternal separation from God. So there was a demonstration of this love through the death of Christ. There's a direct benefit to those who have been justified by his blood, the fact that we're going to be saved from the wrath to come. And then he goes on to say, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. There's the gospel message. It starts with the love of God, compelling God to act on our behalf, and it results in the benefit of being saved by his resurrected life.
Amen. Bob, if there's any better news than that than I've ever heard or anybody could ever hear, I don't know what it would be.
I don't either.
Yeah.
And yet we keep trying to find something that's better than that, but we're never going to find anything better than what God has revealed to us in Jesus. That is the good news, the best news, and it will always be the best news.
Amen. Well, God bless you, man.
Well, thank you, Clay. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Hey, friends, have you joined the email list yet? Well, one of the several ways to stay connected with Basic Gospel is by clicking subscribe at basicgospel.net. The daily emails are going to keep you updated with the latest encouraging content, like our daily broadcast, of course, ministry updates, and a lot more. Just click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. Well, still plenty of time on the clock, plenty of open lines. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, my name is Bob Davis, and as always, we thank you for joining us. That number, 844-322-2742, plenty of lines available right now, 844-322-2742.
Well, let me ask this question to our listeners. We read the verse today that God is love. Before you really, truly, genuinely knew that to be true and took a stand on that truth, how did you perceive God? What did you think about God? What did he look like in your mind? We would love to hear some comments about that. I think it would make for interesting discussion. So what did you think of God before you knew the truth that he is love? Yeah. We'd love to hear from you on that question. Well, let's go back to our phone lines, talk to Victor, living in New York, listening on WMCA. Hi, Victor.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you guys?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, just wanted to give you a little report that how I have come to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That wasn't the question. The early question I wanted to ask was, there are some believers out there that think that that they can replace Israel by keeping the customs, you know, of the Bible and Passover and so forth and so on. And is that a new thing that has arrived at, you know, where did that come from, that they think that they could replace Israel as Gentiles?
Well, Victor, it's not a new theology. There's been, quote, a replacement theology that's been around for a long, long time. And so here, I think, is the basis of that. Israel believed that they were to be a blessing to the world. So they take the promises that God gave to Abraham, and they apply that to the nation of Israel as a whole. We're going to be a blessing to the world. And they don't narrow or actually see how narrow that promise was, in the fact that God said to Abraham, through your seed, meaning one, the world would be blessed. So Jesus is that blessing to the world. So anyone who receives Jesus, who believes in Jesus, whether Jew or Gentile, is blessed, has received that blessing that promise that God made to Abraham way back when. So instead of recognizing that, there's a lot of people saying today the church has now replaced Israel and has become that source of blessing to the world. So if we will just obey the law and do, you know, better than Israel did, then we can take Israel's place and we can be that blessing. Now, I don't think the Bible teaches that. And I think it's very clear that all of the promises, all of the blessings come true to us in Jesus. The story is about Jesus from beginning to end. And if we will ever get a hold of that, then the Word of God will actually start to make sense to us. There is one unfolding story. We get to participate in it. The Jews were able, the nation of Israel participated in it. We are now participating in it through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have become the people of God, the church of God, the body of Christ. But the real blessing is always Jesus. It always was meant to be Jesus. It always has been Jesus. It always will be Jesus.
Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you. And I just want to say you guys are awesome. And I just want to say that God has really saved me from, just want to give you a quick testimony of, I was afraid of, you know, dying. I was afraid of not waking up. I was just totally, totally afraid. And I would wake up at all sorts of nights, and sometimes I would just go to work without even going to sleep the next day. And I gave my life to Christ, and he took that fear away. Now I'm not afraid anymore of, you know, closing my eyes. Didn't know where I was going, but you know, I put my trust in my faith in him and in him alone. And so I thought I'd give you, you know, my testimony on, you know, God is real, and I know that he is, because he took that fear away from me. And I just want to say you guys are awesome, and just want to encourage you to stay the course and stay strong.
Well, thank you, Victor. Boy, that gospel message does its work.
Sure does.
We see it right there in Victor's story. Yeah. You know, the writer of Hebrews said this: since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Mm-hmm. The gospel message has the power to unlock those chains and set us free and enable us to go to sleep at night with confidence, with whether we wake up the next morning or whether we die in our sleep. It's a win-win. Yeah. We're either going to be in the Lord's presence with him there, or we're going to continue to enjoy his presence in us here. It's all good news, isn't it?
It
truly.
Yes, it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you very much, guys, once again.
Well, thank you, Victor. Yes. God bless. Thanks for sharing your story. We sure appreciate it.
We do.
Well, let's go to Richmond, California, and talk with Darnell, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Darnell.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great.
Thank you for taking my call.
You are so welcome.
I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and my Savior, and I just thank God that I finally know the light. But I was talking with someone, and they said that, you know, in the Bible it says that on the third day that Jesus rose with all power. And I was talking with some people that study the Word, and they said that he rose with all power after he had walked, after the 40 days that he walked around to show that he had rose. When he ascended back to heaven, that is when he had all power over the all authority over heavens and earth. And I thought it was when he rose on that third day. So I just wanted to, if you could point me in the right direction in the Bible, or if you could clarify that for me, please.
Well, Darnell, I think that gets down to kind of his mission that he fulfilled in his human body. So God, Jesus himself was fully God and fully man. And that is the mystery of godliness about Jesus, the fact that he was fully God and fully man. Well, in his fleshly form, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death. That's what Paul wrote in Philippians. So he humbled himself. So he put aside his divine prerogative, so to speak, and he lived in dependence upon his Father. But that didn't change the fact that he was always God. So he had the power to lay down his life. He also had the power to take it up again. Those were uniquely his. And so he's always had authority, but in his human mission, so to speak, you know, he humbled himself. He lived in dependence upon his Father. He offered himself as the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. He was raised from the dead, and he ascended and took his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father, which is a position of authority. And it's from there that he is ruling and reigning over the kingdom that he ushered in through his death, burial, and resurrection. But he was always fully God, always had authority over everything. Just for a little while, he became like us.
So even when he was on that cross, he still had all authority. He just laid it to the side and was obedient. Praise God. I understand. Thank you so much. I listen to your show, and I really love it every day. Thank you. God bless you. And I know that God is pleased at your work.
Well, Darnell, thank you for your call, and I think that was just a great question, and glad we were able to help clarify that for you. And keep listening. Tell your friends, okay? Thanks, Darnell.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go quickly to Erica in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Erica. We have about a minute. How can we help you?
Hey there. I've got a quick question about missions. So I'm planning to go on a missions trip to Latin America. And in regards to Jesus' death and concerning limited atonement and election, how pertinent is that to missions? Is it just a matter of obedience, or is it a matter of an actual need?
Well, Erica, I think you just present Jesus. I think you just present his death, his burial, his resurrection, the fact that he ascended and is now seated at the right hand of God, and allow the Spirit to do his work through that gospel message. You don't have to worry about all the you know, theological positions and that sort of thing as far as your mission work is concerned. I mean, you can hold to those things, but what you want to do is lift up Jesus and lift up Jesus alone. He's the one that saves, not your theological position or anybody's theological position. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Lift him up. He'll draw people unto himself.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. Good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back for a study edition tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.